From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Harrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Harrogate. A pulsating climax to the classic. Harrogate takes the lead and wins. Harrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator. They're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
91 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 48 seconds away from the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs on Saturday, May 6th, and it'll be here before you know it. And for many on that Derby trail, that trail heats up today, and really, for a lot of contenders, it gets started here later this afternoon with major Derby prep races in Florida, in New York, and in California. Of course, the Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream, the Withers at Aqueduct, and the Robert B. Lewis Stakes out at Santa Anita all top the docket later this afternoon. And you're going to hear the Holy Bull exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network as part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. All that coverage this afternoon beginning 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in studio here in Lexington, along with the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, our producer, Lee Delapina, Sean C. Chauncey, handling all of our social media for us here this morning, at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and happy to have you with us on this Saturday morning. JT, good morning.
Good morning. It's interesting that the first Derby prep of the day is going to be on the West Coast.
Isn't that strange?
Very strange. It goes Santa Anita, Aqueduct, and Gulfstream. And ordinarily, it would probably be the reverse. But the way things are going these days, you never know.
We were talking about it before we came on air this morning, that Robert B. Lewis, which will be race number two at Santa Anita today because it only drew five horses, isn't necessarily the strongest renewal of the Lewis that we've ever seen. And I'm putting that kindly.
Okay, which almost guarantees,
now that I've said that, it almost guarantees that the Derby winner is coming from that race.
Well, that's probably happened before, but it doesn't look like, you know, really these horses are developing still, but it doesn't look like that type of a race where you can say, well, that horse is going to win the Derby. But it's an interesting field. You got some horses that are improving. Royal Mo, who drew the rail, he's improved his Brisant Speed figures every start. And same with IRAP, one of Doug O'Neill's horses that keeps moving forward. So
One of three
that Doug O'Neill has in there. He's kept the race alive. And then Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer has one in there on the outside with Mike Smith. So you got Hall of Fame connections. Sheer Flattery, who just broke his maiden. But you know, he's got some representative races. So it's not a horrible race, but it's more like an allowance race. It's more like a non-winners of two, really, than anything else.
Speaking of Hall of Famer Mike Smith, we are going to spend a moment looking back on last weekend's Pegasus, the world's richest race, which you heard exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Jude. But before we get to that point, I want to ask you about the Holy Bull today, because all eyes are going to be on Classic Empire, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, who last year really looked the part of a Derby winner. Everything he did seemed to say, okay, this is a horse that can handle the mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May, and if he overcomes some of his antics at the gate, which it appeared that he did later in the season, this is a legitimate contender, and he starts his road to the Derby today in the Holy Bull.
Yeah, you know, he only has one bad race, kind of a non-race. He wheeled at the start, but he's undefeated other than that, so it was just a bad day. But very nice horse, very talented horse. He has the best pace and speed in the race, which is a very good indicator that he'll probably win. The thing that intrigued me is he's only had four workouts since his layoff. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and his last workout was October 28th, the Feast of St. Simon and Jude. I always remind Simon Bray of that one. We should have our own show. And then, you know, he was off. He didn't work again until January 8th. So he's had, at least that we know about, I don't know, he could have been someplace else or whatever, but there's only four current works at Palmetto's, which doesn't really seem like a lot or enough, but Mark Cassie is a fine, fine trainer, and he wouldn't be running him if he didn't think he was up to the task, and certainly he's got the best form. But there's some other interesting horses in there. Fact Finding for Pletcher, undefeated, just won a little stakes at Gulfstream, the Smooth Air by 7 lengths. Irish War Cry, who's training like a bomb for Graham Motion, son of Curlin, so you got to respect him. Gunavera is a horse that's on a lot of people's Kentucky Derby / Triple Crown list, the son of Dialed In, who won the Delta Jackpot by 5 3/4 lengths. So it's a much, much stronger field than what we're going to see in the Lewis.
Yeah, Classic Empire, regarded by most to be the leader in the clubhouse right now. He is atop the points list for the Kentucky Derby with 30. Gormley in second with 20. Practical Joke is in third with 14. Uncontested currently in fourth with 11. And Gunavera in fifth with 10. So you have two of the top five in the point standings going head-to-head today in the Holy Bull with Classic Empire and Gunavera. That should be a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun to see Classic Empire get started on that road to Louisville later this afternoon. Again, that coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern for you. You'll hear it live exclusively at horseracingradio.net, all presented by the FTBOA as part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. Poll question for today, and then we'll look back on the Pegasus for a minute. The poll question for today is, if the Kentucky Derby were run today, if it were run today on February 4th, which we know it's not, we're still 91 days away, who's your horse? Who are you picking? Who is your Derby horse sitting here on February 4th? That's what we want to hear from you, HRN Nation. We'll read those responses. You can tweet to us at HRRN on Twitter and hit us up on Facebook at Horse Racing Radio Network. If the Derby was run today, who are you taking? Who's your Derby horse? We want to hear from you. All right, the Pegasus last week, JT. Awesome, awesome performance by Arrowgate. We've become used to seeing these types of performances from him over his past several starts. He dominates that field. He takes the world's richest race and does it so, so easily under Mike Smith.
Yeah, well, there was really, it was really a two-horse race on paper. The other horses were just not as good as Arrowgate and California Chrome. California Chrome did not run well, a very unusual performance for him. And he trained great up to the race and all of that, but, just not his day. And now he's retired. So if you took him out of the picture, I mean, Arrowgate figured to win that race.
Yep.
By many, which he did.
Yeah, and when California Chrome didn't run his race, then it was over.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's the rest of the field, it was apples and oranges.
Yeah, they weren't going to run with either one of those two.
It actually would have been the same thing. A golden apple and some oranges.
Yeah.
Honeycrisp apple.
And then the final running time, there was some dispute about the final running time. It was revised, that press release coming out yesterday, it was revised to 146.83 for the mile and an eighth on the fast main track, which eclipses the Gulfstream Park track record of 146.86, which was set in 2014 by Lee when he won the Don Handicap. So a new track record for Arrowgate based on the revised timing of the race.
Yeah, Mike Watchmaker posted something on Twitter yesterday about that and said, there's a lot of people that have retimed the race, and there's many, many times. And I don't know, I think he said something to the effect, and I don't want to put words in Mike's mouth, but he said something to the effect of, I don't know why they chose that one, which is a very astute statement. I mean, I don't know who did all of this. I'm sure, it was done scientifically, but I don't know how you get that time, how
I
you
was
pull
going
that
to
one
ask
out
you
of
that
the
question.
Air.
Are you buying that track record time of Arrowgate?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't really have any choice other than to buy it. But I know Bruno DiGiulio timed the race three times, he said, and he got three different times. Other people timed it.
How do you get three?
Well, it depends on it, you know, when you're timing. Right? Yes, but when you're timing a race off of video, you know where the poles are, where you hit the watch. I mean, obviously, ideally, a trackist time would be the best available. You know, with the saddle pads and all that, but. You know, I don't know. There's always instances where the timer doesn't function properly.
Yep.
People have been talking about run-ups and all of that, which is the run-up, in case anybody doesn't know, is the distance between the starting gate and the pole where the race is actually timed yep. from. So sometimes those are shorter, longer. There was a race the other day in Dubai that they actually called off. I mean, they ran the race and paid the prices and stuff, but they declared the race unofficial because the time was wrong. The starting gate was set in the wrong place. That did not happen in Florida, but I mean, things happen. It's, you know, there's pilot error is always the number one cause. So I don't know what to make out of it, but
well, if indeed the number is accurate, and if indeed it was a new track record for that mile and an eighth distance at Gulfstream Park, it is an extremely impressive performance because of the fact that Arrowgate won by open lengths and he won geared down by Mike Smith. He really wasn't asked to run in that final 16th of a mile.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, just kind of cruised. And,
yeah.
And so, you know, I will just consider the time and go on
right.
with it. I don't think anybody's going to lose any sleep over it.
No, probably not. Somebody who might be losing sleep, maybe, is trainer Mark Cassie, because he does have a horse in every single stakes race coming up at Gulfstream later today, including Classic Empire and the Holy Bull. He's going to be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time, so we hope he gets a little bit of rest anyways. And
he's good with trainer naps, Mark Cassie.
He's very good with trainer
very
naps.
Very good with trainer naps.
He's a veteran.
Yes, and you know, trainers have such a schedule. And Mark, oh my Lord, he's got horses everywhere. He's got horses in every race.
Unbelievable.
You told me he had a horse in every stakes today at Gulfstream?
Yeah.
So, you know, he does, you know, get his Dwayne Lucas power naps in whenever possible.
Well, he's going to need them today, and he's going to need to be fresh when he shows up on this show here at 9 o'clock Eastern, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But coming up after our first break, we're going to be joined by Justin Nicholson, who is one of the people behind Equestricon, that conference coming up in August at Saratoga. We are proud to be the official radio network of Equestricon and looking forward to being up there for that in August. But Justin is going to tell you more about that conference when he joins us in just about 3 or 4 minutes from right now. Elliot Walden is going to be with us right about 8:35 Eastern time for our Stallion Spotlight segment. We'll focus on the Windstar Stallions on the show here this morning. Again, Mark Cassie, 9 o'clock. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park at 9:25 Eastern. And Doug O'Neill, who sends out three of the five contenders in this afternoon's Robert B. Lewis at Santa Anita, is going to wrap it up and go down the road to the Kentucky Derby with us at 9:45 Eastern time. A lot of things yet to come. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Macho Uno is off to a flying start in 2017. Currently the leading sire in North America with three black type winners already.
A thrilling finish in the Sunshine Millions Classic. Here's the wire. It's too close to call. Nauset Beach had the lead, but the Bob went to High Riverside. Inside the final furlong, Tommy Macho and Luis Saez. Macho indeed, they're much the best. They won it by five in the end.
In addition, Macho Uno was recently represented by Starship Tribbles, an easy maiden special weight winner in Florida, drawing off to win by 6 1/4 lengths. Small Bear, a 3-year-old winner of an allowance race at Parks, the second consecutive win for Small Bear, who is owned by Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm. And the promising 3-year-old Philly Treble, a winner of a maiden special weight in her debut for trainer Ron Moquette. And Macho Uno's 16 stakes winners from 2016 include new multimillionaire Dannon Legend. Macho Uno, standing at Adina Springs.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion, all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Lexington studios, and a very busy program here this morning. And we kick it off talking about an exciting new concept, a conference which will take place in Saratoga in August. It is really geared toward the fans and giving the fans an experience that they would never be able to have outside of an event like this. And it is called EquestriCon. And we are proud and privileged to be the official radio partner of EquestriCon and joined now by one of the founders, Justin Nicholson, not only a founder of EquestriCon, but the man who started 90 North Racing Stable back in 2011. And he is with us now here on the Equine Forum. Justin, welcome to the program, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, happy to have you on board and looking forward to hearing a little bit more about EquestriCon and what people can expect when they do come out in August. Why don't you start there, and then we'll talk about how people can get involved on some different levels and eventually get tickets to the conference as well.
Sure. We call EquestriCon racing's first convention, fan festival, and trade show. So there's a lot of elements to it. It's kind of modeled after the Comic-Con idea and the cons that are kind of, you know, sweeping the country a little bit. It ranges from, you know, fan activities like, you know, a name a racehorse contest. We're working on kind of a design your own float station, some of those kinds of fun things, to panel discussions, which cover just about anything. We have panels, you know, about racing photography. We have panels about handicapping and methods to handicap. We have panels on, you know, ownership and then all the way to, actually we're pretty excited. We have, a Triple Crown Jockeys panel, which will have the three Triple Crown winning jockeys of the 70s speaking about their experiences. So a lot of different kind of storytelling panels, and then the trade show element. So we have about I think we're going to have about 50 exhibitor booths, and that will give vendors of all kinds the opportunity to show off their wares and reach directly to consumers from fans to industry. So it's a pretty wide-ranging kind of event, and it'll be, kind of a party celebrating racing atmosphere, a couple of bars, live music, all the fun stuff to go with it. We're very excited about it.
Yeah, and you are not alone in putting this together, Justin. Of course, you have Katie Sharp, you have Dan Torchman, who are the other co-founders of EquestriCon, along with yourself. Tell me about the idea behind EquestriCon and how this all came about. Where did it get started? Was it over cocktails one night? Was it sitting in the box at Saratoga? How did this idea come about?
Yeah, I like to use the phrase that it kind of took many years and a few minutes to come together. And I say that because I think, the three of us have spent a lot of time around fan development. For Katie and me, it was, the 90 North kind of bringing owners into the game side of it, the partnership that we ran. And then for Dan, it's been, with America's Best Racing and some of the fan development stuff they've done, both between bringing people out to the races and, just the content they do to try to help bring people in and help them understand the game. So I think, bringing that kind of, the background of the years of that, along with what I joke is the few minutes, because Dan threw it out in a conversation in the car one day, suddenly I think he thought that we were going to tell him he was nuts. And, 2 seconds later, we're sitting there throwing out the ideas to pull this thing together. So, it was one of those where it was kind of serendipitous, but then, in no time, we're all sitting there, trying to turn a concept into reality. So it's been a process. We're working hard, but it's going really well. We're very happy with where we are.
It's absolutely brilliant, I think. And I think the fact that you're having it at Saratoga is outstanding, because that's really the best racing that we have all year long. And there's so many people that are starved for this kind of thing. They want to participate in things racing. And, I'm very excited about it. I think it's really going to make a difference to a lot of people, and it's going to introduce a lot of new people to some of the insider things that in racing that we all kind of take for granted because we're around it every day.
Yeah, no, I think that's the goal of it. I mean, there's obviously a value and a meaning to some of the kind of, exclusivity that comes with some of the things that go on in racing. I mean, when you're an owner, you want to feel like an owner and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is we have the chance to be a very accessible sport. I think sometimes, especially for people like us who are kind of around it a lot, I mean, the jockeys, the trainers, the people we deal with, we feel like we're in that community and forget sometimes that there are a lot of people who are real, fans of the sport and don't have that access on a regular basis. So I think, we're really coming to this as, something where we're trying to help bring people closer to a sport that they may have loved their whole lives. Maybe people can introduce their kids to it. It's a wide-ranging audience, but we want to bring everybody closer, to a sport that we think lends itself well to that.
Talking with Justin Nicholson, one of the co-founders of EquestriCon. EquestriCon coming up in Saratoga later this summer, August 13th, 14th, and 15th. And, one thing I love about it, Justin, I was, as a kid growing up about an hour from Saratoga, I was the person that was chasing after the jockeys to try to get them to sign my program as they were walking from the jocks room over to the paddock area. And now, with this EquestriCon conference, people don't have to do that. That they can go to the conference. They're going to get to meet not only some current jockeys, but they're going to get to meet many of the greats, including Ramon Dominguez, Pat Day. They're all going to be there, and they can talk with them. They can get autographs, and they can have this exclusive access, and they don't have to work very hard to do it. I think that's great.
Yeah, no, we're happy to remove a little bit of the thrill of the chase there. So if we can make it easy, we're happy to do that.
You're about 20 years too late for me, by the way.
Well, hopefully we catch the ones who are going to be the hosts of radio shows in the future as well. So we're very happy to see if we can make some young fans' days, and I think we have a pretty good lineup of signings. And like I said, in addition to the ones you mentioned, I mean, we do have the Kruger, Turcotte, and Coffin all lined up to do autograph signings as well, and team secretariat or whoever from that team is available to make it. We've got that group signed on as well. So I think, for people looking to go get some autographs and collectors, I mean, there's just going to be a lot of content available for them. So we're excited.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, there's so many people that maybe have just a little spark in them about racing. They go, oh, that's kind of cool. But they haven't quite turned it into a flame yet. And I think that's where you guys are going to excel, with a lot of people that really want to, you know, learn more and delve into the sport a little bit more. I think it's just fantastic what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's. I think that's kind of the other big thing we have in mind, is just whatever level you are when you walk into the space, whatever level your interest, we just want to see if we can kind of dial it up a little bit. We're all, you know, the three of us who founded this thing, we're all, you know, professionally involved in racing. We all love the sport. We're all pretty young. I think we're you know, late 20s, early 30s among the three of us. So, you know, we have a vested interest in this industry being around a long, long time. And, you know, every person you can kind of take, from a casual fan to a handicapper to an owner to a whatever it's going to be, you know, or just somebody who comes out to the track a few more days a year. I mean, I think that's a meaningful thing for the industry as a whole, and a meaningful thing for us as people who want to be in it a long time.
Justin, would the vision be to have an EquestriCon conference every single year in the same location, or would you want to rotate EquestriCon to different parts of the country, a la Breeders' Cup?
I think we envision that it's something that can travel. You know, we refer to it as an international racing convention, and I think our programming hopefully will back that up. We've got, you know, a pretty good number of people traveling in for this to participate. So, I mean, obviously step one is, and the most important thing is to make sure that, you know, August 13th to 15th of this year, we put on a great program. So that's kind of plan A. And then beyond this year, you know, I can see where it's going to, you know, it could start moving around. But, you know, we want to get it perfected, and we want to make sure we do it right. And Saratoga is exactly where, you know, you want to start something like this. You know, we have the built-in audience. The town has been very, very receptive. It was funny. We actually, I had a friend of mine who lives up at Saratoga, sent me a message the other day. He goes, you know, you came up in the state of the city address the other night. So obviously we're very happy that we're kind of, you know, making inroads in the community, and the community has been very supportive. So, at this point we want to give Saratoga a great event, and that's our primary job.
You know, we talked about the Triple Crown jockeys and the connections of Secretariat that will be there, and fans will have access to those people. Justin, is it true that ticket sales tripled the minute you announced that I was going to moderate one of the panels?
Easily. I mean, it's, you know, tripled is an understatement. No, we're actually launching. We're launching the tickets probably in the next couple of weeks. So we'll say interest tripled. We'll put it that way. We're launching tickets probably in the next couple of weeks. We're hoping to beat the end of the month. So, you know, we're very excited to be able to put those out there. I think we believe we've given a lot of value for what we're going to put out, and we're going to make sure that we do our best to price it so, you know, all those people we've talked about are going to be able to attend. We want the, you know, the young fan starting to get interested in the sport to come, and we want the industry person who's, you know, fully involved and wants a new thing to try out to come. So that's our job at this point.
You know, we have a show, I'm sure you're aware, Justin, every single Wednesday here on the network, Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton. And Jude and I spend an hour talking with trainers about their life and their career and some of their shining moments. We had a great visit with Todd Pletcher this past week. It was an unbelievable hour. And if people haven't heard it, they can go back to our website and listen to the podcast. But you have a panel on the Tuesday, August 15th, that is a trainer's panel, and they're going to tell stories about their career and their success and the challenges and the things that they've overcome, very much kind of in line with what we do on that show. I can't wait to sit in and be part of that panel, because I love hearing those stories each and every week, and this panel should be unbelievable.
Yeah, I think you guys have a great model with that, and the reality is, I mean, such a big thing in racing is the storytelling aspect, and that's something we're trying to capture, you know, in a few different panels, but that's one of the important ones. And I think, you know, I mean, it's just so much happens over the course of, you know, developing that one really good horse or developing a program, whatever it is. You know, there are all the things that get somebody to that point. And I know, you know, I've heard your programs before, and, you know, people go back to turning points in their lives when they were, you know, 13 years old, and that gets them there. And that's the kind of stuff, you know, you're not going to read in a program. So we want to make that come to life and let people have access to that part of racing you know, kind of hard to unlock without putting together a forum like this.
Well, you can learn more about EquestriCon by visiting the website, equestricon.com. Justin, before we let you go, tickets you said will go on sale in a few weeks. How can people access those and make sure that they reserve their spot for EquestriCon?
Yeah, so the tickets will go up on the website at equestricon.com. But in the meantime, there's a registration link up on the website at equestricon.com. It'll say register now. That puts you on for our newsletter, and certainly the first people who are going to know when tickets go on sale is everybody signed up for a newsletter. You can also actually text EQCon, EQCON, to 66866, and that's another way to sign up for our newsletter.
Justin, so, appreciate
a couple
all
different
the
ways, but those people get the inside scoop.
Good stuff. Justin, appreciate all the time and appreciate all the support that EquestriCon has given to us here on the network, and we are happy and, again, proud to be the official radio partner of this year's event, and should be an amazing time in Saratoga in August. Keep up the great work, and let's keep it rolling.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we're glad to be working with you guys, and you know, hopefully we'll make it a big deal.
All right, Justin Nicholson here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Jude, one quick note before we get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment here, but there is also a Hispanic Leaders in Racing panel, which is going to be moderated by our HRN host, HRN in Espanol host, Roberto Rodriguez. Ramon Dominguez, who is part of our HRRN and Espanol broadcast team, is on that panel as well. Should be a really good panel, and just another way that EquestriCon is reaching out to all aspects of this industry.
Yeah, I just got a text. Do we know what the ticket prices are?
We do not.
We do not.
That would have been a good question. I'll tell you what, I'll find out for you, though. I'll shoot a text here to Justin off air, and we'll make sure we make that announcement here in a few minutes.
Okay, maybe they haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
So. All right, we'll try to get that information.
The ticket prices tripled once they announced that I was going to moderate a panel. Actually, they start giving them away for free just to get people to come watch my panel. Should be a lot of
what
fun.
What panel are you doing?
Media.
Oh, well, shocking.
A media panel. Go figure. I didn't get asked to be on the panel. I had to moderate it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to take it over.
You're known for your moderation.
I'm quite the moderator.
I was going to suggest they open another bar. He said two. I think they need three.
All right. It is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Godfather, Tony Attiano, Mike Hendricks, Dan Deffler, all the great people at the Lexus store of Lexington. And right after this, we're going to segue into our Stallion Spotlight segment, which will focus on the Windstar Stallions. Stay with us. We're back with more right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Quote, "He was a man. Take him for all in all. We shall not look upon his like again. Let the autumn wind harp on the dropping leaves, her soft requiem over him. Let the winter's purest snow rest spotless on his grave. Let spring entwine her brightest garland for his tomb, and summer gilded with her mildest sunshine, and let him sleep embalmed in glory," unquote. The man being profiled in this piece was a personification of the American success story of rags to riches. No better example can be found in any field of human endeavor. His career as a breeder, developer, and master salesman of both standardbreds and thoroughbreds cuts a broad swath through the annals of racing history. For 11 consecutive years, he was the nation's leading owner and breeder of horses, winning races that were bred on his farm. He was born December 28, 1856, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and he was the oldest son of a family that came to these shores from Roscommon, Ireland, in the mid-18th century. As a youth, he, being the oldest son, had to learn to fend for himself very quickly, and as a result developed a marvelous physique while excelling in boxing, swimming, running, and jumping. In his later years, he became quite friendly with the likes of Bob Fitzsimmons and Gentleman Jim Corbett, and he was a sparring partner for the legendary John L. Sullivan. He had many early trials and triumphs while overcoming many obstacles and barriers before moving to Kentucky as still a young man with limited resources, to say the least. There, he purchased a few horses, and a legend in its own right was incepted. In time, he was involved in breeding, selling, and racing horses on a small tract of land along Winchester Pike in Lexington. This was the beginning of the building of a historic farm, which he named after a superb thoroughbred he raced in the late 1890s. that farm eventually spanning 2,000 acres of the beautiful bluegrass. He became a world-renowned breeder and stuck to his guns during the time when racing was in some jeopardy early in the 20th century. He was constantly encouraging young farmers to go into the breeding of thoroughbreds. Because of these activities and his virtually unbounded charity and philanthropy, his mark became very deeply emblazoned on the pages of the history of the thoroughbred world. He was a deep thinker indeed and an ardent student of bloodlines, and he coined the following phrases, quote, "No foot, no horse. Opinions die, records live." As to size of horses, well, many big turnips are indeed hollow. Frequently I hear of a horse being called a quitter, or that he stops. This is, after all, a recommendation for a horse, since it is our aim to breed very fast horses, and only very fast horses stop and quit. Five Kentucky Derby winners first found the light of day at his farm, Old Rosebud, Sir Barton, Paul Jones, Zev, and Flying Ebony. He also bred and raced the likes of Princess Doreen and Sir Martin. The latter in his time was the only American horse ever to start as the favorite in the English Derby. As you drive out of Lexington along Winchester Pike, there is a slight elevation that slopes to and faces that road from the farm. There's a plot of ground there enclosed by a stone wall shaped like a horseshoe, and there are buried Plotted, Starshot, Ogden, and others aptly marked by gravestones, and a separate enclosure for Nancy Hanks, the famous mare, with a granite monument. The farm, Hamburg Place. The man, having been profiled, died in 1929 at the age of 72, but the legend lives on. He was truly a giant in his time and was known as the Wizard of the Turf. He was John E. Madden.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him.
and Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coos in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
The Florida thoroughbred horse industry is more than a horse at a racetrack. Florida is one of the leading thoroughbred centers in the world, creating a $1 billion economic impact to the state annually and supports 12,000 jobs. Florida's Ocala-Marion County is recognized globally as a major thoroughbred breeding and training center with over 600 farms and 15,000 thoroughbreds trained each year. Florida-based Ocala Breeders Sales is the 2-year-old market leader. Plus, the cutting-edge equine services, leading veterinarians, researchers, feed and tack retailers, blacksmiths, equine specialists, and major horse transportation companies make it horse capital of the world. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, your industry leader promoting the Florida Thoroughbred worldwide to create growth of the industry.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, rolling on a very busy Saturday morning. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld in our Lexington studios, and time now to focus on our Stallion Spotlight segment, which focuses on who else? The Windstar Stallions.
Coming to the 16th pole, and Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp. What a star in the making as Bodie Meister crushes. He wins by 9.
Carpe Diem takes the lead. John Velasquez, a quick peek over his right shoulder. Danzig Moon coming. Ocho, Ocho, Ocho fought hard, but he's third. Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. It will be Carpe Diem rolling through Lexington and headed on for Churchill Downs. He wins it.
It is Alpha and Gemologist. They're coming down to the line. It is Alpha who surges. Gemologist comes right back at him, and he has the heart. It is Gemologist. He will go to the Derby. A flawless 5 for 5.
And now Constitution has a 2-length lead. Lee comes after him. El Nawi is closing in the center of the track into the final 16th. It's Constitution drifting out, holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution in the Don.
As they come to the eighth pole, it is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming at him in second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
Tapping down the outside, a 16th to go, and Tourist on the inside just has the lead. Tapping charging furiously in pursuit of Tourist. Tourist Tapping. Tourist beat Tapping a neck.
And Tiz now is doubling on the American Horse of the Year.
Well, and a great trip down memory lane looking at just a few highlights from those Windstar Stallions. 22 stallions standing at Windstar in Versailles, Kentucky. And that had to be music to the ears of President and CEO Elliot Walden, who joins us now for this Stallion Spotlight segment. Elliot, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, that was fun. I like that. Can you send that video or that audio over to me?
Yeah, you got it. No problem. We'll pass it along. Our producer did a great job putting everything together. And boy, what a... What a trip down memory lane. And you think about so many of the stars that are standing at Windstar, Elliott, and one in particular, Pioneer of the Nile, who we didn't even have a clip in that highlight reel from Pioneer of the Nile, but here's a horse who produced the first Triple Crown winner in, you know, 30-plus years in American Pharoah, and he's the sire of another leading Derby contender this year with Classic Empire in today's Holy Bull.
Yes, we're excited about seeing him run, and, you know, Mark's done a great job with him. So we were actually underbidder on him as a yearling. And so just happy with him getting back in action, and it's really exciting for Pioneer of the Nile.
Yeah, extremely exciting, and looking forward to seeing those babies run and seeing Classic Empire run. Let's talk about some of the other stallions out there. Where do you want to start, Elliott? I'll leave it up to you.
Well, you know, we're pleased with how the spring's going for Bodie Meister. He's got a filly in today down at Gulfstream in the Forward Gal, the filly of Todd's. And then, you know, we've got American Anthem on the West Coast that Bob Baffert's very high on. And then Always Dreaming, who Todd has, that broke his maiden by 11 at Tampa the other day. So he's starting to get it together. A little bit slow off the mark last year. You know, they're starting to come kind of like he did. He didn't break his maiden until late January. So starting to see that his offspring have kind of the same pattern.
With 22 stallions on your roster, you've got price points and pedigrees to suit almost every breeder. Do you ever have them bumping into one another?
Well, you know, look, the nice thing about it, we do try to focus on sire lines and diversity a little bit and give breeders opportunities with different sire lines and physiques and distances and even grass this year with Tourist. So, you know, hopefully people will find a need. And you know, we're just real excited about a lot of the young horses we have that complement our proven stallions as well.
I've been hearing a lot of great things about Constitution. Why don't you talk about him a little bit?
Well, we're real excited. I mean, he and Carpe Diem were two of the flagship horses last year that we brought in, and both of them have a very good resume. Constitution, being by Tappet, was extremely fast, carried his speed two turns, and, you know, you saw his family kind of come alive this year with his mother bringing $3.3 million baffled to George Isaac Bridlewood down in Ocala. And then his half-sister, Jacaranda, brought $2.0 million. So, you know, it shows the depth and quality of his family, and it also shows that he was a good racehorse by Tappet. So you'd have to say, and he's a beautiful horse. So, you know, you put all those together, breeders are kind of lining up for him, and it's been a good year for him as well.
Elliott, one of the stallions that I think is going to be a major success at Windstar, and that's Bodie Meister, who, you know, as you talked about, is a horse that has just been so, so good on the racetrack. He had all kinds of ability. Talk to me about Bodie Meister a little bit.
Bodie, you know, is, like I said, I'm just really excited about his offspring and what's going to happen this spring, and we're going to run American Anthem in the either the Rebel or the San Rafael or San Fernando, whatever that stake is, the second week of March in Santa Anita, and then look towards a bigger prep than that. But they're starting to come, and you like to see that. So I'm really pleased with how they're doing.
Some newcomers to the roster this year with Exaggerator, Outwork, Spitester, and Tourist. And who can forget that performance by Tourist in the Breeders' Cup Mile? What a sensational effort that was.
It was really exciting, and, you know, it was a stellar field, and he put on you know, he's always been a good horse. It was just nice for him to be able to put it together. So from that standpoint, just super excited about his future. He was probably another, you know, he was second in the Shoemaker Mile, and if he would have gotten that done, he probably would have been champion. It would have been his third grade one of the year, but, you know, he's a very good horse, a beautiful horse, great lines, beautiful horse.
Yeah, and he trained so good. He trained so good coming up to the Breeders' Cup. He was touting himself all week long. He just,
right.
just fantastic looking horse, a nice way of going, beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, he's been a good horse for a long time. You know, I think that he is a horse that probably was a little bit under the radar just because he was unlucky. You know, he's running three Breeders' Cup miles. The second one, he drew the 14 hole in one of them in California. Last year at Keeneland, he popped a quarter crack the week of the race. We patched it, thought we had it in good shape, but he just didn't show up and run his race. So, you know, those things happen, but he's always been a good horse, and so we're excited we got the opportunity to win and then be able to stand him off of that. Would have been hard to stand him if he didn't show what he could do, and you know, for him to be able to come out and beat 9 grade 1 winners in that race, run the fastest mile in history of the Breeders' Cup. You think about all the horses that have run in the Breeders' Cup over the 31-year history. Pretty amazing that he ran the fastest.
Elliot, do you find that with 22 stallions on the roster at Windstar Farm that you kind of have something for every breeder and every mare, depending on where somebody's looking to go with what they're trying to do with their breeding?
Well, I mean, you know, you'd like to think so, but, you know, people make decisions based on their own opinions and things. But we do try to offer a lot of options for people and give us a chance to you know, complement somebody's breeding program. I mean, the one thing that's really exciting for us that we added this year is the Windstar Incentive Network. And I think that that's really going to be huge for breeders because it gives breeders a chance to earn dollars back towards stud fees. And we all know breeders need as much help as they can today. Stallion prices or yearling prices are getting a little more polarized where buyers are either on them or they're off them. So any way that we could help breeders stay in the game, I think we need to do that. And the Windstar Incentive Network offers an opportunity for breeders to earn awards up to $100,000. And so, you know, you breed a grade one winning Breeders' Cup winner like Classic Empire. Steve and Brandy Nicholson got $100,000 to use on stud fees this year. And they're using it on four different stallions. They're taking stud fee off of, you know, they're breeding a Carpe Diem and a couple others. I know Carpe Diem for one. I can't remember what else they're breeding. I think Spitestown, they're taking some of the money and applying it towards the stud fee of Spitestown. So they're taking the stud fee of 100 on Spitestown down to 60. Well, that's a beautiful thing for a breeder to be able to breed to those kind of horses and move their program up. So we're really excited about it. And I think as it continues, people are going to understand that the only qualification for a breeder is that they have to breed two mares at Windstar. So, you know, I think that that's not unreasonable. And for the kind of money we're giving away, we project that we're going to give away about $1.4 million a year in stud fee dollars. So real excited about that program.
Windstar President and CEO Elliot Walden joining us for the Stallion Spotlight segment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Elliot, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that a couple of weeks ago you sat there at Gulfstream Park and you were honored when they announced the Windstar name as the Eclipse Award leading breeders for last year. So congratulations on that honor, and I know that that had to be a very special thing to hear that Windstar name called.
It was, and it's great for the team, and everybody puts in so much work. It's very hard to breed horses, and any breeder will tell you that. So it's one of the awards that just feel like it is earned by the compilation of a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication and a lot of time. So it is a very gratifying award, and people at the farm got a big charge out of it, and so we're real excited about that.
Well, the minute you walk in the gates at Windstar Farm, you know it's a class organization. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of property on the planet, and you guys do such a great job. It's just an outstanding place to be, and I love the place, and also you stand my favorite stallion, More Than Ready.
Yeah, he's a great one. Just been so good for so long, and got a few live runners today. I know Todd likes his three-year-old in the turf race, Made You Look, thinks he'll run well. So he's just a fantastic stallion. If we could clone him and have 22 of those guys, all be rolling.
Elliot Walden with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Elliot, appreciate the time. I know you're down in Florida. Go enjoy the Holy Bull Stakes and that great card today, and we'll look forward to catching up again soon, and keep it rolling.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
Elliot
Walden with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and WinStarFarm.com is the website where you can go to learn more about all those WinStar stallions, and we certainly appreciate all their support of what we do here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll get to a quick break. We'll come back and get you set for a very busy second half of the show, which kicks off with Mark Cassie right around 9 o'clock Eastern. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home of the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bull.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bull and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
For nearly half a century, the Northern Dancer sire line has dominated thoroughbred breeding. Galileo has earned his place among the breed-shaping sires from that lineage.
They're into the stretch. Magician is trying to come late.
Now, his best son in North America.
On the far outside, Magician.
Will carry on the legacy.
And Magician runs down the field.
This afternoon, the road to the Kentucky Derby rolls through Gulfstream Park with the Grade 2 Lamb Home South Holy Bull, along with the Grade 2 Swale, Grade 2 Forward Gal, Grade 3 Swedish Chant, and $100,000 Kitten's Joy Stakes. And be sure to pick up your free Lamb Home South long sleeve t-shirt with purchase of a handicapper program or daily racing form while supplies last from 1 to 3 p.m. in the breezeway. And enjoy the delicious 10 Palms Deluxe Buffet for $74.99, which also includes a t-shirt. Derby contenders start here. Gulfstream Park, welcome to your playground.
Claiborne Farms Flatter is carrying the flag for AP Indy, rewarding breeders in the sales ring and on the track. Among the nation's leading sires by Grade 1 stakes horses in 2016, this year's stars include Terrace, Upstart, Kobe's Back, Amy's Flatter, and most recently, Paola Queen, winner of the Grade 1 Test Stakes at Saratoga. Success on the track has led to big numbers in the auction ring as well, with yearlings this year selling up to $425,000. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
5/16 to go, and Classic Empire draws alongside Syndergaard. They're two lengths in front from Not This Time, and Practical Joke getting up towards the inside within striking distance, swinging for home. Three Rules are swimming in deeper waters today. 3/16 from home, and Classic Empire clear by 2.5 lengths to Not This Time, who's finishing on determinedly. He's wandering about just a tad. Classic Empire to the 16th, about 1.5 lengths. Not This Time is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, Not This Time, Classic Empire by a neck, Not This Time. They finished a street in front of the rest. Practical Joke was third, and looking at Lee from last into the superfecta.
Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Classic Empire beginning his road to the Kentucky Derby later this afternoon in the Grade 2 Holy Bull at Gulfstream. You'll hear that race exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Coverage begins 5 o'clock Eastern Time. You can stream us on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, Bluetooth us in your car, whatever it might be, all through our website at horseracingradio.net. And in Spanish, for those of you looking for the Spanish coverage with Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma, that is available at hrnenespanol.com. Again, all beginning 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Second hour features trainer Mark Cassie coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Mark, of course, the trainer of Classic Empire and busy man. He has a horse in every stakes race at Gulfstream Park later today. Mike Nyman, director of marketing, will be with us at 9:25 Eastern, and he'll look back on the Pegasus last week and that massive success and look ahead to the rest of the meet, including today's Holy Bull. And then Doug O'Neill, who has 3 of the 5 contenders in today's Robert B. Lewis Stakes at Santa Anita. He will be with us to wrap up the show as we go down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway, at 9:45 Eastern Time. Hey, if you missed it earlier in this hour, had a chance to visit with Justin Nicholson from Equestricon. And if you haven't heard of Equestricon 2017, well, it's the first ever customer-facing, fan-centric international racing convention and trade show. Now, here's the way it works. The whole point of the convention is to bring the entire industry together under one roof and open the doors to the fans, allowing unprecedented access and opportunities for engagement. The convention will be absolutely loaded with programming like panels, workshops, meet and greets, entertainment, autograph signings, appearances by racing authors and artists, and of course, many, many vendors there as well. You can learn more by going to equestricon.com, and just got word from Justin a short time ago that tickets will go on sale in a few weeks, and the price is expected to be somewhere around $20 to $25 a ticket for general admission. Then you will have the option to purchase meet and greets with jockey panels and different panels that will be hosted there, autograph signings. You can do all of that when you get there, but $20 to $25 is what they're looking at right now for the ticket prices, so not too shabby. I would definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event, and there'll be plenty of free things to do, and if you want to participate in a panel or one of those, great opportunities,
it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's a really good idea, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Mark Cassie set to join us momentarily right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Beholder and Songbird, a soul-stirring duel. Forever unbridled, two lengths back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird. A cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Creator is coming too. It is Destiny. Destin in front. Pregator, Lenny on the outside. Destin and Pregator, these two come down to the line together. Two close to goal.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
The California Chrome has gone into overdrive. He's two lengths in front. He's clear of Munda Hinge battling on. Then for sure wish, but it's California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold.
Drake Bong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Drake Bong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Drake Bong's the leader. Drake Bong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Penna and Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, with you in our Lexington studios getting set for the second half of the program. If you did miss any portion of the first half of the show, our interviews with Justin Nicholson from Equestricon or Windstar President and CEO Elliot Walden, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows at your leisure. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Pontiff, busy second half of the show, and who else would we want to begin the second half with other than Mark Cassie, who has come off of another tremendous year in 2016 and now looking ahead to bigger and even better things in 2017 and maybe a win in the Kentucky Derby with a horse by the name of Classic Empire, who right now is the leading Derby candidate on almost everybody's list, and Mark is with us now here on HRRN. Mark, appreciate the time.
Good morning, guys.
Happy to have you back on board, and happy New Year. You and I haven't talked this year yet, so happy to have you on the program with us this morning. Classic Empire making his return in the Holy Bowl today. Let's start there. Tell me about his months since that Breeders' Cup Juvenile victory.
Well, we gave him a little bit of a break, not much of one, but he's doing really well, Mike. He looks great. He's a happy horse right now.
Seems like every year we're talking about the maturity of horses, physically, mentally, from that two-year-old season to their three-year-old campaign. Have you seen that with Classic Empire?
Well, you know what? I think he's always been a pretty mature horse. I think he's grown up some. You know, he's training well. He's always been a very smart horse. And I see some. I mean, he's never going to be a big horse, but he looks well.
You had quite a break between workouts, at least printed workouts, from October to January. Was he still in the barn? Was he hanging out? What was his schedule like?
Well, he ran in November, right?
Right.
So the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, that race.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he hadn't worked since I quit. He got a little bit of a break. He got a break but he kind of just shed rode and galloped. He started back breathing, I guess, the beginning of the year. But he's good. He really hasn't missed any time whatsoever, and he stayed very healthy.
What are you looking for this afternoon, Mark? Obviously a win would be wonderful, but what in particular will you be watching for when you're watching him in the Holy Bowl?
Well, I'd like to just see him relax a little bit. He's pretty cranked up. I'm not going in there thinking that he's going to need a race. I think I feel like he's ready to win, and I just like to see him relax a little bit, just for in the future. He's gonna need to be able to rate off the pace. That's never really been much of an issue for him before. So, I'd like to see him relax a little bit. There looks like there's some speed in there. So, I guess that's it.
You know, you told me that you had several interviews lined up this morning already, and that's you're used to this attention. You've been on the big stage all throughout last year and throughout much of your career, but tell me about what's maybe a little bit different when you go down the road to the Kentucky Derby again this year, having already done it several times. What's a little bit different?
Well, hopefully, we're successful today. It's one thing to go down the Derby road, and it's another thing to have the favorite for the Derby. And like you said earlier, he's pretty well everybody's pick. And so now you're just trying, you try real hard not to let him down or let everybody that is, you know, picks him. You don't want to let anybody down. So, yeah, there's a little more pressure. But, you know, we still, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you have the Kentucky Derby favorite or you have the favorite in the last, you know, a $20,000 claim, or you have to do what I always say, you dance with the one who brought you. And so we're not changing anything. We're doing it just the way we would do it, whether it was a $20,000 claimer or the Kentucky Derby favorite. So, hey, you see his picture a lot more.
Things. Do you have a long-term schedule mapped out, or are you going to go the race-to-race type of training?
Yeah, well, you know, we're hoping, you know, a big race today and then probably the Fountain of Youth. And then it's going to depend on, a lot of it will depend on the weather. We'll have a few different options. And I like going to Kentucky in the spring. I think horses do extremely well there. I cannot see our horses right now with a little, you know, the air has been a little crisper in South Florida, and they all, our horses are starting to really blossom now. And I find as it gets warmer, they maybe aren't quite as happy, and that's why the spring in Kentucky is so much better. So I'm still keeping an eye on the bluegrass, but we'll see.
You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about pressure, Mark. And, of course, you do have the leading Derby candidate at this point. We're still 91 days away from the Derby. But you look at your resume and you see nearly 2,200 career victories. You saddled 3 Breeders' Cup winners over the past 2 years, multiple Sovereign Awards to your credit. You've won countless graded stakes. And then you still talk about the pressure. But you have a horse here that's owned by your longtime client, John Oxley. And I'm just curious, does that maybe add a little more pressure to the mix, knowing that, hey, I want to win really, really bad for this guy because he's been so supportive? Or does it take some of the pressure off knowing, hey, he understands how difficult this is to actually get to the top of the mountain?
You know what? He puts absolutely no pressure on you whatsoever. So there's no pressure from that. The pressure's just, hey, not letting the horse down. And when I say pressure, it's not really pressure. I mean, look, we're all very fortunate to be playing in the game that we're playing, and I count my blessings each and every day. So, is there pressure? Not really. It's just what you put on yourself, and I can tell you without a doubt, Mr. Oxley puts none on us. So he understands the game as well as anybody. So it's not that. So I don't feel anything from him. Of course, I don't want to let him down. But he knows that we're going to give him the best we have. And it is what it is. It's we're at that point now. It is what it is. We've done all we can do.
S-O-C-K-S in Spanish. Mr. Oxley's already won the Derby, too, so he knows what that's like. So.
Oh, yeah. But I found it doesn't matter. You know, I used to say, well, how did the Yankees get ready after winning, you know, World Series after World Series? And after winning a couple Sovereign Awards, I thought, you know, now I don't want to lose them. So there's no matter how much you win, you always want to win a little bit more. So I know Mr. Oxley's won the Kentucky Derby, so he's had the feeling. He wants to feel it again.
Mark Cassie joining us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, getting ready to saddle his leading Derby contender, Classic Empire, in this afternoon's Holy Bull. Again, you're going to hear that race live with us exclusively here on HRN beginning 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Mark, I want to ask you about your leading lady, Teppan, but before we get to her, tell me about the two fillies you're going to saddle in the forward gal later today at Gulfstream. That's Pretty City Dancer and Summer Luck.
I'm excited about both those fillies. I think Pretty City Dancer has, she always trained well as a two-year-old, but she's trained even better now this year. She's grown up. I think Summer Luck is kind of sneaky good. Probably still a little short for her today, but we're going to give it a try simply because we think that there looks like a fair amount of pace in the race. And if the pace collapses late, I think Summer Luck could come running. But I'm expecting a really big race out of Pretty City Dancer.
You also have another three-year-old going earlier in the card in the Swell. That's a horse by the name of Vanish. Is this a horse that we could say is maybe on the Derby trail or no?
Well, he'd have to step up. He'd have to step up today. As I told Gary yesterday, Gary Barber, this horse is training well enough on the dirt that he deserves a chance. I'm not really sure how good he is. But we're going to find that out today. I compare him to a horse we had called State of Honor, who his form on the synthetic was okay, but he trains really well in the dirt, and he just got beaten the Mucho Macho Man. So I see Vanish in him. They're a lot alike, and if Vanish can run the race that State of Honor ran, then he's going to be tough.
Well, that brings us to Teppan, your leading lady. She is the Eclipse champion 2 years running now as the champion grassmare, and that had to be special to hear her name called again, Mark, especially in such a salty category this year. But tell me a little bit about Teppan, how she's doing, and when we can see her back on the racetrack.
Well, she's supposed to schedule the breeze on Monday. She trained really nicely this morning, and there's a better than more than likely chance she's going to show up next weekend at Tampa in the Endeavor.
Well, that would prove to be pretty good for her last year, didn't it?
It is. It's Tampa is such a great turf course, and it's kind of a nice place for her to get started. So if all goes well this week and we're happy with her, that's where she's going to be.
That's it is a nice turf course, and she seems to really relish it. So looking forward to that race.
She kind of relishes most turf courses.
Yeah. How nice is that?
I'm just talking for her. She doesn't, I don't know that she's ever found a turf course she doesn't really like. So, yes, but it is. It's a wonderful place. It's a great atmosphere, and it's a nice place to get started if we're ready.
Well, Mark, I know it's a busy day. I know you have other interviews, and you've got a lot to get to here later this afternoon. So good luck. Thank you very, very much for taking the time. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to get you a gift from Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll do that for you, my friend, and go get it done later today.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, Mark Cassie here on HRRN. Yeah, he told me when I asked him to come on the program today, he said, okay, I have two other interviews already. How about 9 o'clock? I said, whatever time you want, Mark Cassie, the stage is yours.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a great guy, and even though he was picking on me a little bit today.
Well, clown questions, man. Hey, by the way, we asked that poll question at the beginning of the show, and people can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. The poll question of the day, if the Kentucky Derby were run today, who's your horse? Who are you taking? Who's your Derby horse sitting here on February 4th? And no surprise, Classic Empire leading the way. He has several different votes. We see a vote for McCracken, Gormley, Mastery getting a little respect, Fact-Finding, Uncontested, and even a vote for Seattle Slough. Boy, wouldn't that be one hell of a comeback.
Very impressive.
Yeah, we appreciate all the responses. Again, go ahead and keep them coming at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We'll get to another break. We're going to come back and visit with Gulfstream Director of Marketing, Mike Nyman. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti A 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Racing fans, Santa Anita is the place to be this Saturday as we'll offer a total of four graded stakes throughout the day. Come see top three-year-olds prep for the Santa Anita Derby in the Grade 3 Robert B. Lewis Stakes at a mile and a 16th. Older horses take center stage in the Grade 2 San Antonio. Top sprinters go 6 furlongs in the Grade 2 Palos Verdes, and we'll also have the Grade 2 San Marcos Stakes at a mile and a quarter on turf. First post time Saturday is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10:30. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000 while defeating Grade 1 winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamardal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Amid the beautiful rolling hills of the Bluegrass, the sun dawns a new day at Coolmore America. Sire Sensations Uncle Mo and Giants Causeway are blazing a trail for champions Shanghai Bobby and American Pharaoh. New in 2017, champion juvenile Air Force Blue joins Declaration of War as multiple Grade 1 winning sons of Warfront. Coolmore America, home of champions.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Tagleeb has the lead. Sadler's Joy set down, driving by Lefaru, trying to get him on the money. It's Tagleeb or Sadler's Joy. Here's the wire. Photo finish. Maybe Tagleeb inside, guys.
The hard-knocking veteran Tagleeb scored a game victory in the WL McKnight Handicap at Gulfstream this past weekend, becoming the second graded stakes winner for his sire, Hard Spun, already in 2017. And that winning effort makes Tagleeb your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. In 2016, Hard Spun was represented by 11 graded stakes winners. No stallion standing for less than $60,000 had more. Grade 1 winners produced by Hard Spun include Eclipse Champion Questing and Arlington Million Hero Hardest Core, along with Hard Not to Like, Hard Aces, and Smooth Roller. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They run to the top of the stretch. Fact-finding responded when asked by John Velasquez and turns first with the lead. Basha is there second. Three back to My Friend third. Capitan is up the inside. 3/16 to go. It's on top. Fact-finding continue to find up top. A three-length lead. Basha is clearly second from the back and Skinflint running on for a share. But inside the final 16th, here's a talented son of the factor. Here's Fact-finding going away. Basha second, Skinflint third, give Arasife fourth over My Friend fifth in 136 and four.
Pete Aiello with a call of the Smooth Air Stakes at Gulfstream Park back on December 10th. It was the third consecutive victory for Fact Finding, and that's a perfect 3-for-3 to begin his young career. He makes his three-year-old debut later today against Classic Empire and everybody else in that Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes
at Gulfstream, and what a race it's going to be. Our coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern time for you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series, which is presented by the FTBOA. And by the way, Fact Finding, owned in part by Stone Street Stables, and I want to send a special thank you out to the folks at Stone Street for setting up a visit with us this week. Larry Colmus from NBC and Eric Zimney from Charlestown, both in town, and they were kind enough to have us out to visit with Rachel Alexandra at Stone Street, and boy, does she look as beautiful as ever. Also, our thanks to Darley Dan Pride and the folks at Darley for having us out to see Holy Bull, which, of course, on this week preceding the Holy Bull Stakes, that was kind of a special thrill for me and, of course, my all-time favorite horse, and had a stop at Coolmore for American Pharoah, a nice visit with the Triple Crown winner. So our thanks to all those people for making that possible this past week.
Yeah, it looks like you guys had a really good time. I know seeing Holy Bull was great for you, but...
Got him a few carrots.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a bit feisty until I broke out the carrots, and then all of a sudden we became best friends.
Yeah, you and him, you have to eat regularly or you get cranky.
Absolutely, and the bull's still doing well. 26 years old now.
Wow.
Hard to believe. Today, we celebrate a race named in his honor at Gulfstream, that Grade 2 Holy Bull. And to tell us more about that and to start by looking back on the Pegasus last week is Gulfstream's Director of Marketing, Mike Nyman. Mike, welcome to the program, my friend. Happy to have you back on board.
Oh, good. Sorry you guys aren't here today. Another beautiful day.
Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Getting in the 30s here.
It's only 15 right now, so believe me,
I'm sweating in my suit. It's 71 and sunny.
Yeah. We're missing Gulfstream today, trust me.
Nice to have you on board with us today, Mike. Thanks for joining us. Hey, well, listen, let's start by reviewing that Pegasus Stakes last week. Man, oh, man, what a day. And forget about the race, but let's talk about everything else that we saw, including those lofty handle numbers. Congratulations to you and the entire team.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I mean, it was a great day, a little bit different for us because it was a combined, you know, event that was, you know, orchestrated from our corporate in Canada. So we had to really work together, our local people here on the ground with everybody up there and all the different elements and people that they brought in from the outside. But it all worked out really well in the end, and everybody here was extremely pleased with the whole event. And it's been announced that it'll be back here next year, so we're already planning on that and looking to make it even a better day.
Well, I don't know if there could be a better day. I mean, everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves. A lot of happy people. A fantastic card. The racing department did a really good job putting together some very nice races and lots of celebrities. And it was just an outstanding day.
Yeah, and the fans, it was nothing but compliments all around. And the racing people, many of the trainers that we had spoken to that have been around the industry for, you know, for decades, have told us that it was one of the greatest events, the buzz that was going on around here, the way the whole event was run, and it was just very, very smooth the entire day. So, you know, it was just a great team effort again. And like you mentioned, it was a great card. You know, in the 6 years that I've been here, it was the best racing card that I've ever seen. And obviously the fans reacted well to it because the handle was over 40 million, which for our new building was an all-time record.
Well, if you can make trainers happy, then you've really accomplished something, because that's the the gripingest group of people having been when I can tell you.
Well, we work hard at that here. I mean, we know that the horsemen and the fans are, you know, really the lifeblood of the business. And, you know, I'm glad to say that I've spent a lot of time as a horseman and a fan, and now that I'm on the track side, you know, that it's just, you know, great that we get such good support here, you know, from the management, Tim Ritvo and PJ Campo, just allow us to really do the right things. And even the day after the Pegasus and it was raining here, we had a customer appreciation day, and we had, you know, thousands of people here that came for that and braved the rain. It was just another great day, and it's just been great to be a part of this place and to really show everybody outside there that racing is not dead, and that with the right product and the marketing behind it, that, you know, our best days are ahead of us.
I'm so glad you said that, Mike, because that was going to be my next question to you. Looking at the Pegasus, looking at the results of some of these other days that you have put together, not just this year, but even going back over the past several years at Gulfstream, it does speak to the larger fact that if you put a good product out there, that people will come, whether it's horse racing or any other sport. If you put a good product out there, people will come, they'll enjoy it, and they will bet on this particular sport and help this sport in any way that they possibly can. They'll fall in love with it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, it all started when I came here 6 years ago with Tim Ritvo, and he obviously from his racing background knew, you know, what needed to be done as far as putting the best products out here. And that's what they've done. And, you know, for a person that like myself that works in marketing, you know, it's not, this is not snake oil and smoke and mirrors. You need a good product to market, and they put a good product in my hand and made my job much easier that way. And everything, it's just the whole brand just took off here in the last 6 years, and I'm just proud to be part of all that.
Mike, you also do a lot of giveaways on site, and today you're going to be giving away a Lamb Home South Holy Bull Stakes T-shirt, and that's just part of what you tend to do almost every single week at Gulfstream. How big of a role does that play in your marketing plan?
A big part of our role, because, you know, that's something, you know, over the years, even when, you know, I always enjoyed when I'd go up to Saratoga and the giveaway days and know how popular they were. A lot of people in the industry and a lot of managers and places, they're not big on it because they just see it as an unnecessary expense. I don't see that at all. The fact that I can, you know, give out product and calendars and shirts and hats and things that people are going to wear and really get our brand out there, I mean, to me, that's, you know, just all part and parcel to the marketing. It's part and parcel to how customers need to be treated in this industry. To me, it's, you know, we always like to say we like to give the Disney experience, and we try to do that, and I enjoy it. And the giveaways are a lot of fun for me because, you know, we did one here last Sunday on Customer Appreciation Day, and I'll spend the entire day around the floor and get to talk to so many fans, and you know, you get a lot of good information that way as far as, you know, how you do your own job and how to market. So I listen closely to what the customers have to say, what they like, what they may not like, and I try to apply that into, you know, how I operate here every day.
Yeah, you can't go into a racetrack where you don't see one of those Saratoga coolers or a Santa Anita hat or a t-shirt from Gulfstream Park. I mean, people in racing, they love racing swag. And if you gave somebody, you know, a choice of a beautiful cooler that costs $50 or one that says Saratoga on it, they're going to take the Saratoga one every time.
I think one of the greatest giveaways that Mike ever came up with, and Mike, I don't know if you're going to bring this back, do it again this year, but I still have it at the house. And that was the bottle opener that when you would crack open your bottle, it would play the call to the post.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was really, really neat.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we always enjoy is we meet with a lot of different vendors and we try to come up with some different things. I know everybody loves, you know, the shirts and the hats, and we always do those, but we're always trying to come up with other type of items and things that might be a little bit different that people will also enjoy. And this bottle opener was a huge hit, and like I said, and we just did it a couple of weeks ago. That's one that we've repeated, you know, three or four times already, and the customers love it. You pop that beer and then you get the call to the post. Matter of fact, somebody had told me a story that they were visiting their dad right here near the track, and he popped a bottle. He had his window open, and when he popped it and heard the call to the post, he was telling people, "Wow, you can hear the bugler from Gulfstream over here. It's amazing." there's a lot of stories that go on with this thing, but it was one of our more popular giveaways, no doubt about it.
Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park, join us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Mike, look ahead to this afternoon and the Holy Bull Stakes. It really begins that road to the Kentucky Derby at Gulfstream, and you get the leading Derby contender in the race in Classic Empire. Five stakes races on the program today. What can people look forward to at Gulfstream on this Saturday afternoon?
Well, it's another great Saturday loaded, you know, with stake races. Of course, the Holy Bull is the feature that'll run in the last race today, I believe the 12th race. But we also, you know, we're running with the Holy Bull. You have I believe we have three grade two races and one grade three race, so you get a lot of good variety. Plus, in the fifth race, the 7 furlong swale, you'll see three rules who was undefeated here at Gulfstream, won, I believe, four stake races, and then went out to the Breeders' Cup and threw in a clunker against Classic Empire that day. So I guess that's why they didn't want to meet him again today. But Obviously, you may see these horses come back into the Florida Derby. But you get a nice variety of races. I mean, the late double, which is going to consist of the last race of the Holy Bull, but the race before that, you got the Swedish Chant, a mile of three-year-old fillies on the grass. Grass racing is obviously very popular everywhere and no different here. And so we have that going, and a couple other great stakes, the Kitten's Joy, which is also on the turf. That's for the boys, and that'll kick off in the fourth race. And it's just going to be another great day. All the great trainers, jockeys, and horses, once again, will be here competing.
Yeah, you mentioned the Swale, and that's actually prep, too, for the Florida Derby and possibly the Kentucky Derby. So you got two Derby preps on the same card. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, again, it's just a loaded card, a great day. I mean, just coming off a week after the Pegasus and, you know, to be able to put on another great card on a day like today is just, you know, shows you, you know, the kind of horses that we have here stabled here during the meet. And it just makes it great for the racing office to put on these great cards.
Nobody better. He's Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park. Mike, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll look forward to catching up again next Saturday morning, my friend.
Looking forward to seeing you guys back down here.
All right, Mike Nyman with us here on HRRN, and always a delight to have Mike on board, and he'll do that with us all the way through this Saturday at Gulfstream Broadcast Series right through the end of, well, beginning of April, April 1st with the Florida Derby.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic race, it looks like, if everybody stays in one piece.
Well, let's hope so. Doug O'Neill still to come. He will join us right around 9:45 Eastern as we go down the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway. But it is time now for your KTA-KTOB Spotlight segment. And if you're wondering about what's happening at the KTA-KTOB, well, here you go. Kentucky bred means quality across the globe. How about this? For the second straight year, a Kentucky bred three-year-old has recently been named the Longines World's Best Racehorse. Judmont Farms Arrowgate topped the list with a 134 rating, the same that Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh received when he topped the rankings last year. Among the European two-year-olds, Kentucky breds hold four of the top 10 rankings, led by Group 1 winner and Royal Ascot heroine Lady Aurelia, who was rated at 121, only 1 pound below their champion colt Churchill. And it goes without saying that Arrowgate, who also ranked at the top of the world's three-year-old rankings with a 134 rating, 5 pounds above Cartier champion three-year-old Almanzor. Well, guess what? He is also ranked among the top four, at least the top four horses were Kentucky breds, and those were Nyquist and Songbird. So let me tell you, this program, the Kentucky bred program here in the state, is absolutely sensational. They are a force wherever they run, our Kentucky breds. So unlike most state bred programs, Kentucky bred group winners are eligible to receive breeder awards worldwide. And you can learn more about the program by visiting KentuckyBred.org. We're going to get to a short break. We'll come back and get you set for Doug O'Neill coming up in just a few minutes. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning two-year-old, Anchor Down is a half-brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They come in towards the quarter pole and Sword Fighter goes on, taken on now by Vending Machine. Sword Fighter, Vending Machine. Hootie is coming after them, Term of Art on the outside. They come to the top of the lane now. And it's Term of Art and Sword Fighter and Vending Machine. These are the two now coming with a late run. Term of Art on the outside. Three of them can win it with an eighth of a mile to go. Term of Art, Vending Machine, Sword Fighter. They come for home. And it's going to be Term of Art. Term of Art and Joe Talamo have won it. Term of Art wins it. Vending Machine second. Sword Fighter third. And then Curly's Waterfront.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Pena, Jude Feld in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. The one and only Trevor Denman bringing them home in the Cecil B. DeMille Stakes. That was back at Del Mar, and Term of Art gets the victory that day. He's back in action later today in the Robert B. Lewis Stakes at Santa Anita, one of three horses who will be saddled by trainer Doug O'Neill, who will join us on this program coming up in just a few minutes. But JT, I don't want to neglect the Withers up at Aqueduct either, and there's a pretty good horse going to the post in there by the name of El Arib, who is trained by Cal Lynch. Now, Cal joined us for a full hour on our Trainer Talk program here a couple of weeks ago, and we asked him about El Arib. Keep in mind, Cal's brother, Fergal, is a jockey. He does not ride El Arib at this point. That's Trevor McCarthy, and we started by asking him, hey, Cal, what's that conversation going to be like with Fergal if you get to the Kentucky Derby and he's not the one getting a leg up?
I'm hoping he's riding the Horse for Grand Motion Irish War Cry. that's my bailout. Yeah, so. Trevor and I have been very fortunate together, and those owners, MMG, are very loyal with Trevor. He rode Never Gone South and other horses for them as well, so they have a relationship with Trevor, and we don't go fix it if it ain't broke, you know?
Yeah, well, Trevor's a great rider, too. He wins races sometimes when he's not supposed to, a lot like your brother does. Why don't we talk a little bit about El Arib? I mean, this is a really cool horse. I think he has a very high ceiling.
We're very pleased to have him in the barn. This time last year, I was in Ocala and watched him train. Dr. Eisenman had him down there. They bought him in Cleveland, and he had him down there. And I wasn't sure if I could afford him when I watched him train in December, January, February. I was very fortunate to get him. He's just a lovely horse. Does everything right. Very professional. Good feeling. Happy. You know, good doing horse. You know, he'll take a lump out of you if you let him. But he's just a very, very cool horse. Very talented. I've never had. I said it right after the Jerome. And sometimes you say things that you regret later on. I don't. I still believe he's one of the best horses I've ever had my hands on. I haven't got to the bottom of him yet, and I hope I don't anytime soon. He's just easy to be around, and just very talented, very sound, very happy.
Well, that win in the Jerome, Cal, he won by more than 11 lengths and just completely annihilated the field. Share your thoughts on that performance, because it really was eye-catching.
Yeah, everything went according to plan. The tactful went to the lead, and we thought we could just sit off of him but not give him an easy lead. That day, the track, for our first time around two turns, that was a very, very testing track. I know a lot of guys were saying about the time was very slow, and it was, but if you look at the rest of the day, it was a lot slower. They went 23 and changed the first quarter. I seen that come up, and they were 5 lengths clear of the third horse, and I was very concerned because everything else had gone like 25, 50, and didn't stay there. So when I seen 23 and changed, maybe 23 and 1, I was a little nervous. I was sitting in there holding onto the side of the seats, you know. Then once I seen him get up head-to-head with that horse and looks him in the eye, and the other horse kind of, you know, I'm not sure anything happened to that horse, but he stopped pretty bad. I don't know if it was the track or he just didn't like it or whatever, but whenever he went to the lead, you know, he's a little lazy. Once he made the lead, we kind of expected to wait sometimes for the other horses. His first time around two turns, I thought he may get tired a little bit, but you know, he's just very, very talented and very athletic, and wouldn't, you know, it was a muddy track, it was a testing track, but it wouldn't have been his preferred surface. I mean, if you guys thought maybe the mud moved him up a little bit and this and that, but I've seen him work better on a fast track than an off track. It's a little scary.
A little scary indeed. If El Arib, if that was not his best surface in the Jerome, and he still won by 11 lengths. It is scary to think about what's left in the tank. And Jude, you brought up the point that, you know, hey, when a horse wins by this much for a trainer, you have to be excited, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, trainers love fast works. They vehemently deny that. But they go, yes, this horse can really run. And, you know, you have a horse win off like that, and he's on the Derby trail, and it's got to be very exciting. Now, the bad news is for Fergal Lynch, because Joel Rosario is riding him today. So, poor old Fergal. He's going to be in the cheering section, it looks like. So, you know, it's nice for Cal Lynch to have a horse like that. And he's done such a great job with all the horses he's had over the years. And this is nice for him to be in the spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely. Joel aboard which horse now?
He's on Irish War Cry.
Oh, Irish War Cry. I got you. Okay. I was looking at El Arib. I said, uh-oh, wait a minute. It says Trevor McCarthy.
Yeah, no, Trevor McCarthy's staying on El Arib. But Cal said he was hoping his brother was going to ride Irish War Cry, which he has done. But Joel Rosario today.
Yeah, that entire interview, full hour with Cal Lynch on our website, all part of Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton, that you can hear every single Wednesday night at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, Sirius 219, XM 206, and streaming and podcast on our website, horseracingradio.net. Now, El Arib, Jude, is 6-5 on the morning line in that Withers today. Looks on paper to be the horse to beat. Does he repeat with another big effort here today, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why he can't build on that last race. He's a very talented horse. I've been watching him for a while, and I like him. He's tough, but this is not an easy field. This is a very, very good race. Pletcher's got Filet of Soul in there. There's a couple sprinters stretching out. Always a suspect for Kieran McLaughlin, a square shooter, a horse that's undefeated for Michael Lerman. And Chad Brown's got a part from the crowd in there. So this is a pretty salty group. Probably the toughest test that El Arib will face so far. So, you know, it's not a walkover.
No, and the water is only going to continue to get deeper as he moves along this road to the Derby. So you heard Cale mention in that little soundbite that he feels like, and he's not afraid to say it, he said it after the race, he'd say it again, that this is the best horse he's ever been around. Well, he's got to continue to prove that as the waters get deeper and the competition gets more stout as he makes his way down toward that road to the Kentucky Derby. And in case you're wondering, by the way, because I know a lot of people are, when we opened the show, we were edging closer to the Derby, and we're even closer now. 91 days, 7 hours, 44 minutes, and 26 seconds away.
Yes. Still 91 days.
Still 91 days.
Yes.
Right. A little bit closer, though.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half closer.
3 months away. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Just seems like we just had the Breeders' Cup.
I know. It goes so quickly, and it will go very quickly now as we move down that road. You're going to hear so many of those top Kentucky Derby prep races with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can head over to horseracingradio.net to check out a complete road to the Derby and our full broadcast schedule, really, for 2017. It's all there, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget to check out the podcast of all of our programs and to follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Efforting Doug O'Neill. Doug O'Neill has three horses going to the post in the Robert B. Lewis later today at Santa Anita. We opened the show by talking about this race and by telling you that it's race number two on the program today because you only have five horses. And it doesn't appear on paper to be the strongest renewal of the Robert B. Lewis that we've ever seen. But with that being said, Jude, you know as well as I do, you never know where these Derby winners are going to come from. This could be the race that very well produces the Derby winner. We don't know.
Yeah, it's the time of year where horses move forward, leaps and bounds, so to speak. And there's horses in here that are approaching, top speed figures for this level. Sheer Flattery being one. He broke his maiden. Now, granted, it was a sloppy track, but it was a game performance. He got a 96 Brisnet speed figure. Par for this race is 97.
Yep.
So he's just one tick away from hitting it. And you've got Royal Moe for John Sheriffs, who has improved his speed figures, 82, 87, 91. That's exciting if you're a trainer, as your horse starts getting better and better. IRAP, one of Doug O'Neill's, 76, 77, 90, 91. So he's sitting on a big race today, and he's a maiden, but he's run against some tough customers. He finished second to Mastery, and he had a rough trip that day. So, he's got some talent.
Surprising that there is no horse trained by Hall of Famer Bob Baffert in this year's renewal of the Robert B. Lewis, and that's probably welcome news to the rest of the competition because Bob has won the race on six different occasions, including the last 2 years when he sent out More Spirit last year and Dortmund the year before. You look at some of the names that have come through the Robert B. Lewis, and I mentioned that on paper this doesn't look like it's maybe the strongest Derby prep we've seen this year and not the strongest we're going to see, certainly. But you see some of the names that have come through here, including I'll Have Another, who, of course, went on and won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness back in 2012 for who else? Doug O'Neill. You see names like Pioneer of the Nile, a winner of this race, Brother Derek, who is certainly no slouch. Names like General Challenge and Artax, who came through this race, and even going all the way back to Ferdinand, who won the race back in 1986. There have been some good horses to come through this race.
Yeah, this used to be the Santa Catalina.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
There was a horse in there, the horse that won it named Kinnelmeeky, I believe. Check that one out. Is that on, you have the list of all?
Well, I do. Hold on 1 second here. Which year would this
have been? Oh, it's farther back than I care to remember.
Before Baron?
Before Baron.
How about Sham in 1973?
Yeah, it was after 1973, I believe. Kinnelmeeky, do you see it in there?
Let's see. Yes, 1975.
1975, okay.
Ridden by Bill Shoemaker.
Right.
For trainer Lester Holt.
Yeah, Lester Holt, the guy that owned Bullies down in Del Mar. Mm-hmm. Lester was a long time trainer, a really good guy. And
so how many times did Shu win this race? Seven.
Seven?
No jockey has won it more.
Yeah.
Seven.
Well, Kinnamäki was one of my favorite horse racing stories. Kinnamäki won that race. And you said 1975. When I started working for Julio Canani, he claimed Kinnamäki off of Bill Spahr. And so we get the horse ready, and we're running him at Santa Anita, like, I don't know, in a 12-5 claim or something. And he gets Shoemaker to ride the horse because he knew Shoemaker won the Santa Catalina back in the day with the horse. Now Kinnamäki's probably like 8 or 7 or something.
Right.
So anyway, he goes over to the library, the CTBA library, which is across the street from Santa Anita, and he gets the librarian to copy a chart out of the chart book, the Daily Racing Form chart book, yep, of that race. And he cuts it out and puts it in his pocket. He's wearing a pink shirt. I'll never forget it. And the owner's colors were pink. And he comes to the paddock. It's the ninth race. And Shoemaker comes out to the walking ring. And he says, he pulls the slip out of his pocket and he hands it to Bill. And he says, "Ride him like this." And Shu looked at me and just shook his head. Like, where did you get this guy? And the horse went wire to wire and won the race and went on a little winning streak. He was one of my favorite horses when I worked for Julio. And he liked cinnamon rolls. I used to stop on my way to the track and get him a cinnamon roll.
Wow. Good stuff. So in terms of the three Derby preps we're going to see today, which race, well, this is not going to be a fair question because obviously the Holy Bull, because it has Classic Empire. I was going to say which race is more likely to produce the Derby winner, but, you know, again, we don't know that. But what's the strongest Derby prep? Is it the Holy Bull down at Gulfstream?
Well, I think you have to say that it probably is. I mean, you know, there's a lot of horses. But the Withers, I kind of think the Withers is interesting. They're all interesting in a way. I mean, there's horses in all three races that I think, you know, could hit the Derby trail and you know, be major contenders. But if you look at the Holy Bull, you've got Classic Empire, who's arguably atop everybody's list.
Yep.
He's been the most impressive. But Irish War Cry is a really nice horse who's been training well. He's getting the distance test today. He's by Curlin. He should be able to get the mile on the 16th, no sweat. Gunavera is a horse that a lot of people like. He won the Delta Jackpot. Now, that's a three-turn mile on the 16th. He's won three races in six starts. Fact-finding is interesting. A son of the Factor, undefeated, trained by Todd Pletcher. He's going two turns for the first time. So he's been, you know, he ran 6 furlongs, 6.5, a mile. Very old school training by Todd Pletcher, you know, really building this horse up. And I'm interested to see him run today. So that's a very, very tough race.
Yeah, if you haven't, by the way, checked out the Trainer Talk show that we did with Todd Pletcher this past Wednesday night, head back to our website. Do yourself a favor. If you are a racing fan, head back there and spend an hour listening to that program, because Todd went back and talked about so many of the big name horses that he's been around in his career, and it was so great to hear those stories. Some really inside information on a lot of those horses too that people may have forgotten or may not have known about in the first place, and it was really, really good. You can head over to horseracingradio.net, check out the podcast of that show, and do it, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes as well. Doug O'Neill apparently not going to make it here this morning.
Yeah, he's going to hear it from me.
No, that's it. Well, blowing off his mentor. I mean, he would be flipping burgers if it wasn't for you, Jude Feld.
Yeah, that's
inexcusable.
What he always says. But he's probably busy.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things when you've got all this thing going on. You know, Mark Cassie, he wasn't his bubbly self this morning either. We were his third interview, so he probably didn't want any of these questions. You know, so it's one of those things where we understand how the trainers have to operate, and the horses come first.
Yeah, absolutely. And our best to Doug, and let's hope things go well out there this afternoon in the Robert B. Lewis Stakes. Quick mention of the Weekend Stakes Preview Show, which is now presented by our friends at Naira Betts. Naira Betts has a Twitter account that they just launched yesterday, so you can follow them at Naira Betts on Twitter. But you and Anthony Stabile, every Friday, 6 Eastern, Sirius 219, XM 206, you head back and you look at all the big races coming up over the weekend. You did that yesterday. That podcast is up on our site now.
Yeah, I actually did not do the show yesterday, but Anthony did it, and
I did not know this.
Yes, yes. Well, we had a change of schedule. If you recall, there was a change of schedule.
So. Gotcha.
But yes, ordinarily, I was quite proud last week.
People are going to be jonesing for the Pontiff.
Last week when we did the show, I was excited because Naira Betts is the sponsor now. I had the winners of both stakes at Aqueduct, so yep. That was cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Our thanks to all of our special guests for joining us here this morning. Justin Nicholson from Equestricon, Elliot Walden from Windstar, trainer Mark Cassie, Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park, and that soundbite that you heard from Cal Lynch from our trainer talk show. Our thanks to all those people for making this program possible. And our producer, Lee Delapina, Sean C. with all of our social media. We appreciate all his help as well. And for everybody that took the time to weigh in on our poll question at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We are back this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, in both English and Spanish. That's right, HRNEnEspanol.com is your home for Spanish coverage and for our talk show, which comes up at 10 o'clock Eastern. We'll do that 5 Eastern. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. We'll talk to you next time. Ah, what the heck. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.